Welcome back to Extension 720 here on 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman. As the summer winds down, so does the summer music festival season. In September, all ears will shift to Douglas Park for Riot Fest. Riot Fest, the independent Chicago music festival, turns 15 this year, and they're celebrating with headliners Blink 182, Bikini Kill, Ween, and the final Chicago shows for longtime metal band Slayer. Riot Fest keeps the spirit of punk and rock and roll close to their heart, even as the festival has grown hand over fist. But how do you keep a festival DIY when you expect over 100,000 people to attend? Mike Patrician is the founder of Riot Fest, and it's my pleasure to welcome him to Extension 720 tonight. Mike, good to see you. Thanks for being here.
Likewise.
So this is amazing. Congratulations on 15 years. Is it special to think about Riot Fest and with these moments, these anniversaries?
It is. I mean, you know, it doesn't seem like 5 years have passed since our 10th, you know, and then another 10 years since our 5th. So yeah, it's evolved a lot, and, you know, if you would have asked me back in 2005, you know, if we'd still be doing this, and if it'd be outside and all that, you know, I would have said probably no.
Right, to do it in the way that you've done it, where you're not Live Nation, you're not C3 Presents, you're not these corporate behemoths that seem to be taking over all of the music festivals that we know and love. How do you keep yourself from that? I mean, it seems like Riot Fest would be plumb for some company to come in and say, we're taking over.
Well, I think, you know, in part, it's kind of the culture we just created, organic culture. It just had, you know, there was no plan behind it. And I think we're somewhat, like, protected from, you know, a big corporation coming in and trying to thwart us or get rid of us, namely because a lot of the bands want to play. You know, it's kind of an oasis for them, so to speak. You know, they can do other festivals throughout the world that are owned by some of the big companies. You know, they come to Riot and it feels more like home. They want to see other bands play, and, you know, they stick around for the whole weekend instead of the one day that they play. You know, a lot of them have friends in other bands. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like a reunion. So from year one to now, that's probably the biggest difference. Like, bands really want to play, and that's great. I mean, it makes me feel, you know, looking outside the storm that we've created something special with them. And plus, the audiences, our fans are the best.
Mm-hmm.
It's something internally we cherish. We have the best fans in the world, and, you know, most every other festival kind of admits that too.
There's something great about Riot Fest, but also just being an outdoor music festival. Take us through the process, because let's say a band like Blink 182 is a good example of when you say that the bands want to play Riot Fest or they go out of their way to be a part of it. They're also corporations in their own right, their own brands, and these bands are huge. It seems like they would go where the money's at, or they might go to other festivals that might sync up with their schedules. How do you get a band? What are you looking for when you're coming to Riot Fest?
I mean, when we book it, I mean, it's a process. It's not like, you know, they're playing for free or anything along those lines, but it's an easy play because of, again, the fans. And it's an easy play too, in that the base that's there is excited to see them. They can play their entire catalog. It doesn't have to be what's hot on the radio right now. You know, they could play B-sides and stuff, like, you know, weird tracks that...
Full albums in some cases, right?
It's like, you know, they enjoy it because they get to, you know, dig deep into their catalogs and stuff and know into that it's going to be appreciated by an audience that's been with them for quite a while.
What I love about it, too, is that you will see bands, and I think about growing up and going to the Fireside Bowl and having an understanding of what a punk rock band is in America, but you see bands on your lineups like Jawbreaker.
Mm-hmm.
Blink-182 falls in that category. You know, others down the line, Pennywise is going to be there. These are very popular, but they're also very loyal fan bases to these bands that, you know, may never make it to the top 40 or make it even to alt-rock stations and any sort of radio play, but they continue to tour and they continue to drive out. Is it important for you to have those names on that lineup?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, somebody like Pennywise, I mean, they were back with us in the club days. So there's, you know, they've been there pretty much from the start. I think their first year was like with us was maybe like 2008, if I remember correctly. So they've seen the festival evolve and grow, and they know that we haven't really lost who we are miraculously, that it's still, you know, it's the most intimate, large outdoor festival you can attend. But, you know, somebody like Pennywise, still, they've sold millions of albums. I mean, if you combine all their albums, millions. And a lot of them have it, so that you have this base that you're not going to change their minds. Somebody even like the Descendants, you know. There's kids getting into the Descendants right now. It's just like some of the stuff from the late 80s, 90s just doesn't sound dated.
Right.
And I think Descendants is probably a really good example.
When you're booking this festival, do you have to find a balance between what is contemporary and what music lovers are into right now and essentially a nostalgia trip?
Yeah, for sure. You know, it's a balance. I'm pretty lucky where I get to play around with 40 years of music. Most festivals pick a lane, and whether they want to be more poppy, you know, what's kind of relevant this year in terms of album cycles and all that. Whereas our fans don't want that. Do we book a bunch of new bands and young bands developing? Yeah, because hopefully 5 years from now they're going to be headlining the thing. Mm-hmm. But it's a balance, and you get a lot of like bands that are only maybe less than 10 years old get to play with some of their icons and bands that they admired and look up to. And you know, there's not many environments left where that's, you know, we take that to heart. We try to tell stories through our lineups, you know, how we book the stages.
Yeah, right.
It's not like an art form or anything like that, but we just take a lot of time and care.
But you are telling stories. There's a narrative of why this band is first and why this band is headlining and why this band might be playing a full album.
Right.
The other part I love about the, like, just the Riot Fest poster is you got the big names and you follow the suit as the format, you know, the big names, and then the font gets smaller as you go down. But now I feel like this is something you're seeing more often than not is the album performances, where there's actually a section that says album performances by, meaning they're going to play, Blink-182 is going to play Enema of the State. There's other bands that are going to, Ween's going to play one of their records. So this idea that they're playing all the way through, this has become less of what once was sort of kitsch, like one-off set where somebody's going to do one of their famous albums, to now expected, or the expectation is there that these bands are going to do this.
Yeah, we've kind of avoided it the first 10 years. And then in the 10th year, you know, we did 10 albums and it was like Jane's doing it and it was great. And so since then, we, you know, at least do a couple a year, but it being our 15th, we, you know, like let's do as many as we can. And having like the Flaming Lips do Yoshimi, like Blink doing Enema and Ween Mollusk and, you know, Block Party, Dashboard, all these great, but Taking Back Sunday, all doing great, you know, doing albums. Even somebody like Against Me is doing two at the festival during their set. So it's great. And, you know, before you had to kind of pitch and really push, hey, do an album.
Right.
And now it was like, you know, a lot of these bands are volunteering.
They want to do it.
Yeah,
right.
It's great. Because they don't get a chance to do it very often.
Mike Patrician, the founder of Riot Fest, with me tonight here on Extension 720. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back and we'll continue the conversation talking about the 15th anniversary of the Chicago Outdoor Music Festival, which is coming up here in September. Stay with us. Welcome back to Extension 720 here on 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman. Mike Patrician here, the founder of Riot Fest, celebrating their 15th anniversary this September in Douglas Park. Douglas Park is a big storyline for Riot Fest. At one point or another, you had you know, a lot more news headlines about making the transition from Humboldt Park to Douglas Park.
Yeah.
But now it seems like it's settled in. How is your relationship with the community surrounding Douglas Park and the Park District?
It's great. You know, several years ago, we moved from Humboldt to Douglas. And, you know, now we've been at Douglas Park way longer than we ever did at Humboldt. You know, we're in three, now we're on our fifth in Douglas. So the park is in and of itself is suitable for what we do. Mm-hmm. And one thing that fans appreciate versus Humboldt Park is how easy it is to traverse. You know, you have other festivals, even Lala, you know, they have a lot of stages and get from one side of the park to the next. It's just, it's really hard. It takes a while. You have to plan for it. With us, you can go from like stage one to stage four in literally 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And the fans appreciate that. It's just a way more, it's just more wide open.
There's been much more of an emphasis in the last couple of years on safety when it comes to these festivals. I mean, Lollapalooza and the city went through it where they're making sure that everything's buttoned up. Do you have to do the same thing with Douglas Park when you're expecting the crowds that you're expecting? I would assume that there's an emphasis put on the safety of the consumer.
There is. I mean, there's just meetings, a lot of city meetings deal with OEMC and all of that, and they approve all of our plans. And it's everything from perimeter stuff and working alongside the CPD to traffic management and when the show ends on the out and making sure that like CTA is there along with Uber and mm-hmm. all of that. Yeah, it's a long process and it's like really fine-tuning it each year.
I was going to say, I know you got into the music business and the festival business for traffic management. But I mean, I guess I laugh about it, but there are so many things about running a huge festival that is going to have hundreds of thousands of people that you probably didn't think about when you were thinking about, you know, I should get into the music festival business.
Yeah, it's still the most fun and most enjoyable part is obviously booking it and doing the marketing and stuff. But there's a lot that, you know, that goes into just getting the festival up and building it. And, you know, thank God that I have some great people who work on this stuff yearly. And even though, you know, it's relatively the same each and every year, the layout and stuff, it's just fine tuning and just, you know, the things that fans don't notice we try to do to make it easier mm-hmm. for them to get in and have it be more enjoyable.
So you have to think about the experience of Riot Fest. When you get into Douglas Park, I went last year, you know, you've got the carnival atmosphere mm-hmm. and a lot of the vendors and the way it's laid out. But there could easily be, okay, instead of this Ferris wheel, let's go with a Aquafina tent that's just all about the selling gum and water and all this kind of stuff. My point being that you think about the aesthetic of what people are interacting with when you're actually inside the park to continue this sort of DIY punk rock aesthetic that you're going for.
Absolutely. When Riot Fest finally made its way outside in 2012, it's like, you know, let's just do it differently. Let's make it fun. And, you know, to drop any kind of pretension at the door, just have a good time. And so it was always envisioned that, you know, you'd be eating a corn dog on a Ferris wheel watching Gwar. And that's, you know, that hasn't changed.
There was a Tribune article this summer that just said that, you know, has the summer outdoor music festival season in Chicago hit its peak? And they were talking about when you guys started alongside Pitchfork and Lollapalooza, those were the mainstays outside of what the city presented downtown. Now you've got EDM festivals, you've got specific other music festivals. It seems like a lot of for-profit companies coming in trying to get a chunk of what you carved out. Is the Tribune right that Chicago is at this moment where maybe there's too many music festivals?
In the U.S., you know, there's a kind of an ebb and flow. And a lot of festivals are kind of one and done. And you've seen that trend, you know, festivals just not lasting. But with something like with Riot or Lala or Pitchfork and Spring Awakening and some of the ones that have been around for a minute, we've built our base already. And even though you have an EDM festival going, another new EDM festival going on or something along those lines, like it doesn't really affect us. We do our own thing. And if there's any competition, maybe it's like larger shows if like Metallica rolls through or something along those lines. But Chicago has a very short window to hang out outside.
Right.
So, you know, there's a lot of street fests are doing better bookings. And, you know, that's probably one of the biggest things I've seen within the last couple of years is like street festivals just getting larger.
Yeah, absolutely.
They're it's taking, just not cover
right.
bands anymore. But, you know, bands want to play Riot. Our fans are pretty loyal to what we do. And, you know, I think as long as we don't start calling our stages like brought to you by like AT&T or something, I think we're in good shape.
You know, as you look back on 15 years and you think about the early days, what has been the biggest difference for you? Obviously, size is a big deal, but for you personally to go back 15 years ago to 2004 and then think about what's happening this summer, how has your point of view or your perspective changed?
That's a tough one. Again, it's kind of hard to look, you know, I'm in the storm always with this thing. I guess my perspective, I mean, I'm older now, right? So a lot more gray hairs have kind of settled in, but that kind of like boyish part of me that like a booking happens that I'm really excited about, maybe a band's never played before, or you know, a get a reunion or something like that, that still really excites me. And if I get in a bad mood or something like that, I just remember happy faces. Maybe that's the thing. Maybe I didn't pay attention to that as much in the early years because I didn't know what I was doing and just kind of learning as it went by. I could appreciate fans a lot more, you know, especially the last 5 years of, you know, it's that 1% that kind of keeps me doing it.
Is there an expiration date for you? I mean, you'd 15 years of doing Riot Fest. You said it. You're a little older now. But do you think about doing this in another 15 years? Or, I mean, is this a young man's game?
It is. I mean, to some extent, it is, you know, having a pretty youthful office helps. You know, they're keeping their ear to the ground a lot more than I have probably the last couple of years, which helps because, you know, they're like, oh, you got to listen to this. This band's great. And so on and so forth. But yeah, like 15 years from now, if it's still going on, that'd be great. That means that, you know, hopefully we found another Nirvana.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's a integrity's brought back to mainstream, you know, radio or whatever form kids are going to be listening. But, you know, it's kind of passing it forward. This whole notion that like rock was going to die like 5 years ago is like the complete opposite. I mean, you see kids just picking up guitars and playing in their basements. And, you know, there's this opposite of this kind of EDM
computer takeover.
Yeah. And you see some like, you know, collaborations with that stuff. But nonetheless, you're going to have kids in the back of their classrooms that are just jaded and hate everything that their generation is about and going to learn how to play some power chords and use that angst to communicate. And I don't think that's going to change anytime soon. And you just see it. You see these kids, just a lot more young bands that are really good than there were 5 years ago.
Mike Patrician is the founder of Riot Fest. Riot Fest celebrating its 15th anniversary this September in Douglas Park. Mike, always a pleasure to have you here. And good luck with this year's festival.
Thank you.